Agenda we have deliberation and adoption of the draft BRRR report, adoption of the draft quarter term committee program, adoption of our standing minutes. Okay. Can we proceed with the BRRR report and then come back to the two sets of minutes? Our content advisor and the committee secretary and researcher, the researcher that was standing in for Siavuya, Sean Whitten, have been working on this report. So Yolisa will be presenting this to the committee this morning for us to look at, and if we want to make changes, we can do so, and then we'll have to adopt whatever we've decided on as a committee. So over to you. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the honourable members. Chairperson, I appreciate your advice. Do you want me to read page by page, or might we just maybe take you through what is contained in the report, and then we can see, because it's 26 pages. Thank you, Chairperson. The first page, or maybe just to explain to the members, this year we had to use a new template that was developed by my colleagues, the research unit and community section. So all of us, this was a new template, and we only had about 3 days before we started this process. So members, if you pick up maybe some gaps or mistakes, I'll ask for your forgiveness, but we're hoping next year to be better prepared. And just to look at the first page, Chairperson, is basically a standard what we've had in the past 3 years. We've had the BRRR, if I'm not mistaken. So it's just basically the mandate of the committee and what we're supposed to be doing as a committee. And the purpose of the BRRR, which emanated from the Money Bills Amendment and Procedure and Related Matters Act, that stipulated for Parliament to prepare this report, most specifically to come up with recommendations and that will influence the medium-term, the MTBPS process that is coming in a week's time. Okay, Chairperson, what we did, I think, which is most important, is number two. We had to look at the policy areas of that are relevant to the department, and we look at the analysis of SONA. The years that are covered in this process are 2012-13, 2013-14. But if there was something that was raised by the committee maybe in a year before that, I have also incorporated that as a trend, that maybe the committee has raised a certain policy area over a period of time. So the SONA is just looking at what was prioritized by the president, the different functions or performance areas, and how the department, when they briefed the committee last year, they aligned their priorities into those strategic objectives. That's basically it in number two. Same as page three. I think what's important for the committee is page 3.1, the recommendations on the 2012-2013 BRRR, which maybe we can spend some time there. What I did there, I looked at the recommendations and I looked at the annual report. If anything that was reported there was in a way implementing what the committee had recommended. For example, if you look at page one, the first paragraph, it says that just the last sentence, the committee addressed serious concerns over the delays in the processing and finalization of the court orders for foster care, as it deprived children from receiving the foster care grant they are eligible for. And that also impacted negatively on the implementation of the Children's Act. Then that's also was a challenge of the high backlogs in the system. So then the next paragraph says that, the committee then recommended that the Department of Social Development and Justice must work together to address these challenges of the high backlogs on the finalization of foster care orders. Then the next paragraph then, it says the committee therefore welcomed the department's undertaking to conduct a comprehensive investigation into the services provided to orphan children. This it did when it briefed the committee on the proposed amendments to the Children's Act. Furthermore, the committee viewed the proposed amendment to Section 159 of the Children's Act to allow the Department of Social Development to extend certain foster care court orders as a significant step towards resolving this challenge. And this is in line with the High Court ruling that allowed social workers to extend court orders on foster care until 2014. I hope the members still remember when the Department and Justice came to brief us last month. And the court made this ruling in response to the case that was brought to it by the Center for Child Law, wherein at the time there was a backlog of 110 foster care orders that had lapsed. And then the ruling of the court then, it deemed those court orders not lapsed. Then, Chairperson, when I did my research to actually find out how much was the backlog, and I came across this response by the Minister to the House, National Assembly, in April 2011, where she said there was, from that 110, they had reduced it to 33,991 cases are waiting for investigation. And she had said that that would be eliminated by December 2011. However, in her reply in June last year, 2012, she reported that there was a backlog of 49,300 investigations. So there was 110,000, then there was 33,000. That the undertaking was made was going to be eliminated by December. However, last year, June, there was still 49,300 cases. And when I looked at the annual report 2012-13, it was reported that the department had increased the number of foster care by 157,000, that was 31% from 23,000. So that marked a 10% increase. Oh, no, that was, the department had targeted 10% increase, my apologies, yes. That I'm going to raise it the next paragraph. So the next paragraph then raised that they had targeted for 10%, but they achieved 31% according to their annual report. And Chairperson, what I found it a bit confusing for me was that I'm alluded here in the next paragraph is that we have this high backlog, and then we have what the department reported is going to do. Now, what is not clear is, with this 49,300 backlog, whether is that included in this 157, or is this 157,000 new cases that of placement for foster care? So that was something that I couldn't get clarity on. So I just raised it here that was not clear. These numbers, how they speak to each other. Maybe the committee can maybe make a follow-up on that when we do the recommendations. Then the last paragraph says, also during the committee briefing, the DSD and the Department of Justice, the committee also noted that Justice holds a different view to that of the Department of Social Development to amend Section 159, as it was indicated above. The DSD had, the Justice explained to us that giving the social workers the authority or the permission to extend foster care, but they can't deal with other judicial matters like removing a child. That has to be done by the courts. And they alluded to the fact that even the state law advisor was of the same opinion. So at present, it appeared that they still, because the department wanted to go back to the Child Care Act, which had given the department the right to do all those court orders. However, the Justice Department says not only when it comes to the extension on court orders, but not other judicial matters. So there's still that differences in opinion between the two departments. So added then that the committee therefore reiterated its recommendation that the Department of Justice and Development should strengthen their working relationship to solve challenges around foster care. On page 5 is the issue of adoption. The committee in 2012-13, BRRR, it had recommended that the minister should address the challenges that had been encountered in the implementation of certain sections of the Children's Act. Particularly, she should make sure that the issue around the qualification of social workers who process inter-country adoptions are resolved. And proper monitoring and coordination should be done between the department and the private organizations to ensure that inter-country adoption processes between the department and private organizations are done symmetrically. And it also recommended that the minister should intensify educational campaigns to stigmatize adoption, especially among black communities. Equally, she should explore ways of incentivizing people to adopt so as to eliminate foster care being a deterrent to adoption. Basically, this was taken from the recommendations of last year. And the annual report, the department presented that or reported that it had, if you look at the next paragraph, accredited 52 service providers for national adoptions and 2 inter-country adoptions. Particularly, the committee now is pleased with the report that at least 50 social workers per province were trained on inter-country adoptions in the Western Cape, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and KwaZulu-Natal. It further commends the department for developing promotional material on adoption services in Xhosa, Zulu, Venda, and Tsonga, and it conducted dialogues on adoptions in Northwest, Mpumalanga, and Limpopo. So if the members can just see, this is in line with what the committee had recommended about organizing educational campaigns. So the department actually did do that. When it comes to the substance abuse, just highlighting the sketch of the substance abuse and the impact it has on the communities. And so the committee had identified that substance abuse is one of its priority areas for its oversight work. And because of that, then, it had recommended that the expansion of rehabilitation centers should be prioritized in all provinces. Also, fees for treatment programs should be made affordable as much as possible. It also recommended that the minister should ensure that awareness campaign against substance abuse include public awareness on the dangers of drug trafficking and different ways in which victims are lured into being drug mules. And the campaign should also educate the public about the impact of drug trafficking has on families. Then the next paragraph says, even though the committee noted the department's intervention to fight against substance abuse, such as developing integrated community-based approach, which puts great emphasis on prevention and social mobilization strategy, it observes that the main focus has been on prevention and awareness campaigns. These are important initiatives. However, the committee wants to reemphasize that treatment and aftercare programs should be given similar priority. For example, the department reported during a committee meeting held on 11 September 2012 that funds that were allocated for building a treatment facility in Northern Cape were reallocated to other priorities. And the department had also reported that the building of the treatment facility in Limpopo was almost completed. However, then in the annual report 2012-13, the report was silent about the progress made on this recommendation of expanding the rehabilitation centers and including education against drug mules. Child Protection Register. Here, the committee had recommended in the last year's BRRR that the minister should ensure that convictions are reported to the Department of Social Development as soon as they occur. In addition, the confusion around the reporting by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development that should convictions either be reported according to the department's criminal law, that is the Justice, or according to the Children's Act, needed to be addressed. And the ministers then needed to ensure that this reporting system is developed and integrated. Therefore, the committee welcomes the proposed amendment to the Children's Act to redefine found unsuitable to deemed unsuitable to work with children immediately when the conviction is made. Because the department explained that the deemed unsuitable would mean that once the person is convicted, the status of unsuitability will be automatically made. And this will eliminate the separate ruling of unsuitability by courts. The places of safety, the committee had recommended in its BRRR and budget vote that the minister, in collaboration with the Minister of Human Settlement, should explore ways to resolve the challenges of lack of housing for places of safety. Then the annual report reports that the department completed a draft bill on victim support services, which would give the department a role in managing and registering shelters for abused women and children. Therefore, the committee hopes that this bill will address the lack of places of safety, because we don't have all the details as yet of this bill. Internal controls. The committee had recommended that the minister should ensure that stringent controls and systems are developed to prevent any possibilities of department incurring irregular expenditure. If you remember last year, that was the emphasis of matter that the Auditor General had raised. Then this means that the minister should ensure that the management has effective systems to monitor expenditure on a regular basis. Similarly, the department should try harder to meet its quarterly expenditure targets by making sure that accountability, technicalities are not reasons for underspending. Also, it should ensure that it meets its performance targets as planned for each year. The committee then congratulates the department for receiving a clean audit as a result of it addressing the non-compliance findings on procurement and expenditure management. Okay, however, it urges the department to further strengthen its intervention to improve its planning and setting targets that are as close as possible to the implementation realities. Okay, Chairperson, that's just this section that was the recommendations of last year and the implementation with the annual report for this year. Then the page 7, Chairperson, it deals with the committee budget report. There the committee had made an observation in terms of the 50% representation in the senior management level. In 2011-12, in the annual report, the department had reported that men accounted for 52%, they were 48, and women 47%, they were 44 in actual numbers. In 2013-14, this is the wrong, 12-13, sorry, Chair, it's the wrong year here. 2012-2013, then the BRRR. The committee had recommended the minister should ensure that all vacant posts at senior management level are filled as a matter of urgency. The employment equity report for 2012-13 shows an improved status with men accounting 49.1%, which is now 48 from 44, while men accounted for 51%, that is 50 men. In 2013, I don't know why I got the dates wrong there. My apologies. In 2012-13 budget report, the committee had recommended that the minister should establish mechanisms to address challenges related to registration, funding, and capacity building of NGOs, especially in rural areas. The department then reported in this annual report, it developed the NPO electronic and web database and registration system. For the year under review, it had targeted to process 90% of applications within 2 months of receipt. However, it managed to process only 39% applications within 2 months. So that's another area that the committee had noted in terms of not achieving the targets or exceeding the targets. Okay. Now, number four, Chairperson, is basically the overview and assessment of the financial performance, which was compiled by our the researcher was assisting us. I think if you can look at 4.1, it just basically, I think it's just a repetition of what was presented last week, Chairperson. I don't know if I need to go through it again by the department, how much the committee spent, the department spent, and how much it didn't spend, and the program thereafter. Okay. Chairperson, if we skip, then there's on page 10, the report of the AG. Okay, which I think the committee is also familiar with. It was done before we had a briefing with the department. I think, Chairperson, this few pages are basically taken from the presentation that was done last week by the department in terms of its financial expenditure report. Okay, on page 12, 4.3, there, Chairperson, it's a new entry. I think last, the years before, we had the MDGs. But this year, the technical team who developed this template, they now suggested that we look at the NDP. So here it says that it looks at what the NDP is, and it recognizes the important role social assistance plays in alleviating poverty in the country, and it makes specific reference to the establishment of a national register of beneficiaries. And we know that the SASSA had developed that through the re-registration process, which started last year. And also the number of social service professionals is set to increase as a result of the department's scholarship program for social workers. Okay, and also in line with the EC and the MDP, the issue of the ECD, that the department has identified as a key performance area. Okay. On page 13, Chairperson, it looks at the expenditure trends. It says that the main spending focus over the medium term of the department will be on social assistance, which is grants, which on average comprise of 93.8% of the budget allocation. And these grants aim to boost the income of poor households. And then the next one, Chairperson, looks at how the department plans to spend. Take a sip. Okay, thanks, Chair. Okay, Chairperson, and if you look at that, it basically touches on the policy initiative that was taken in terms of age equalization of old age grant. That will also influence the spending pattern of the department, and that is the increase. And also there's a proposal that will see the means test being gradually removed from the system, So that may mean that more people then will qualify for the old age grant. So that can also affect the spending patterns of the department. Okay. Okay, if you look at page 14, Chairperson, I think which is also important in terms of the use of the consultants. It says the spending on consultants is equivalent to 24% of the department's budget allocation for compensation of employees over the medium term. 41 million was allocated in 2012 budget for consultants. And the nature and extent of this audit required a significant technical and human capacity, which meant it was not possible for the work to be carried out by personnel within the department. That's how the department explained this budget allocation. And over the medium term, expenditure on consultants will include payment of panel members who are part of the social grant appeals adjudication process, and the establishment of the Inspectorate of Social Assistance, which the committee raised last week that the department on two financial years it had set targets, but it didn't achieve none of the targets it had set when it comes to establishing this inspectorate. So the department now is putting more budget in terms of the capacity and human resources to establish it. Okay, Chairperson, if you can look at, which I think is also important, that 4.4, it basically looks at now the concluding comments on the financial performance of the department. And it said there appears to be a disjuncture between the financial expenditure and the service delivery performance, with an average expenditure of 99.1%, while only 61% of targets were achieved for 2012-13. Some of the reasons for deviation stated by the department suggest a need for enhanced planning. In some instances, the lack of funds is cited. Processes such as consultation that impacted on inability to meet targets, which could reasonably be foreseen and therefore anticipated in planning process, human capacity constraints, and other reasons. The AG also referred to the fact that indicators and targets are not always suitably developed during the planning process, which should therefore become an oversight focus of the committee, especially during the tabling of the strategic plans and the APPs in future. The AG and the Internal Audit Committee have made recommendations for the department and agencies to improve on financial controls, especially on supply chain management. Furthermore, the department can improve its setting of objectives and related targets and indicators. These objectives and indicators should relate to the department's strategic priorities, government program of action, and the country's broader level NDP objectives. The most significant outcome was SASSA's in-house compiling of the financial statement and receiving an qualified audit report, albeit with material statements which were resolved by the management. Number five, Chairperson, it looks at the overall performance delivery. Mainly it focuses on what the department managed to achieve in these policy areas mentioned here. Okay. And on page 16, Chairperson, now it looks, it reports on the specific programs. And what I would like to draw the attention of the committee to, I think it's that is coming out every now and again about the targets, the setting out of targets. For example, in program one, 55 performance targets were set, but only 21 were achieved. Were not achieved, which means 61% were achieved. However, the department has spent 99.9% of each budget on this program. So that's just something that we thought that should reflect. basically unpacking the issue that the committee had raised on targets, setting up of targets. And it says, of concern is the fact that legal services could only spend timeously to 64% of letters of demand instead of 90% as targeted. So it still raised the issue of the targets, Chairperson. And on page 17, program 3. Unfortunately, in this program, none of the targets that were set were achieved on this program, even though the department had spent 99.78% of its budget, on this program, that was allocated to this program. And on program 4, similarly, 54 targets were set, and this program only achieved 36. So that means 66.6 of the targets were not performed. And this program had spent 95.7% of its budget. On page 5, I think it's the same pattern on program 5, page 18, sorry, not page 5, page 18, where the program 5 had identified 32 targets and yet managed to achieve 59.2%, which is 19 targets out of that 32. And also it had spend a lot, almost all of each budget, which is 99.47%. And it says, of particular concern is the special projects and innovation sub-program that failed to meet all of its four stated performance targets. That's something similar to program 3. Okay, so can I just go now to section 5.2? It talks about other service delivery performance findings. Okay, Chair, maybe I can just explain something here. What this template did, if maybe members have observed, we look at what the department has reported and its performance, and we also look at the performance of the committee. So when it comes to our roles, I, as a Connect Advisor, I dealt with these sections that look at the internal work of the committee. The researcher focused on the analysis from the department. And that's how our roles were allocated for this one. So, Chairperson, from when I read all our documents that we have, the reports, oversight reports, minutes, and all that, which our secretary had prepared for me, issues that came out from our oversight work. One is the older persons. The oversight visit by the committee to the old age homes in Eastern Cape, Empilweni, KwaZulu-Natal, Aryan, Benevolent, and Gauteng, Soweto old age home revealed that there was a serious lack of attention given to frail care, mental health, and disability in both terms of medical and human resources. This was attributed to the fact that the Older Persons Act does not make provision for these services. The committee therefore recommended that there's an urgent need for the department to review the Act to make provisions for these services. This is critical as it negatively affects older persons who are extremely vulnerable and in need of care. The Older Persons Act provided for the establishment of the National Register of Older Persons. The department is yet to establish this register. The committee, during its interaction with the department on the implementation of the Older Persons Act, strongly emphasized on the need for an electronic national register for older persons. It advised the department to develop the register as a matter of urgency. Then the department undertook to develop it before the end of this current financial year, 2013-14. So that's another area that the committee will need to monitor next year when the department comes to make a presentation. On early childhood development, During the committee briefing by the department and the Department of Basic Education on the implementation of ECD National Action Plan and comprehensive strategy to train ECD practitioners, the committee noted that provinces have unequal budget allocation for training of ECD practitioners. For instance, in KwaZulu-Natal had a sharp decrease in number of trainings conducted in 2011 and 2012. Similarly, the committee emphasized the importance of ensuring that the ECD centers in rural areas are adequately resourced to accommodate the needs of children with disabilities. The Department of Basic Education explained that the challenge had been that provinces have to allocate budgets to competing statutory services and non-statutory services, which for now ECD is not, as according to the Children's Act. In such situations, the provinces tend to make the budget, to take the money budgeted for non-statutory services to fund the statutory services. Also, ECD facilities in rural areas did not always have the funding or capacity. The committee therefore recommended that the Department of Social Development and Basic Education should put more focus to ensure that ECDs in the rural areas are adequately resourced and priority should be given to children with disabilities. It was also of the view that municipalities have a critical role to play to ensure that adequate and appropriate infrastructure is provided to ECD centers, particularly those in rural areas. It also emphasized the importance of having ECD programs standardized across provinces. With regard to social assistance, the committee had expressed concern that SASA and the Department of Justice Child Maintenance Register are still not interlinked. It recommended that there was a need for the Department of Social Development and of Justice and SASA to explore the possibility of linking Child Maintenance Program and the Social Assistance Program. And the committee will invite the aforementioned departments to brief it on this. Substance abuse. The concern of the committee was the non-existence of the inspectorate to ensure quality of care at treatment facilities and compliance to norms and standards. And lack of compliance to norms and standards at facilities generally has been an issue that the committee continues to have serious concerns about. The findings made by the committee during its oversight visit of the dilapidated state of the Newlands Rehabilitation Center in KwaZulu-Natal in July 2012 and subsequent upgrading of the center by department clearly demonstrates the importance of having an inspectorate to oversee the department's facilities. Also, the committee had raised concern with regard to illegal sale of liquor in close vicinity of schools, as well as the finalization of the regulations on prevention for and treatment of substance abuse. And the department promised to finalize the regulations by the end of 2011-12, which it did. And the department also informed the committee that the Department of Trade and Industry was mandated to look into the issue of trading of liquor outlets, and these were being targeted, and the police had taken action to close them. Maybe we can also get a briefing next year to see the progress on this particular one. When it comes to food security, during the 2012 briefing on the State of the Nation Address, and the committee required more detail about food security for vulnerable households. And the department then indicated that the Zero Hunger Program aimed at preventing malnutrition and provision of food. And the special focus was going to be directed to female-headed households and people with disabilities. And the department is going to work with Food Bank South Africa to provide food for those in need. This section, Chairperson, is also a new entry in the PRRR, where the researcher looked at inputs from the independent institutions, the research institutions or academic institutions or other civil society. Okay, one that he managed to get a report from is the Age in Action, which was formerly known as South African Council for the Aged, which it highlights very important issues, in my opinion. It presents as a well, first part just basically talks about what this organization does and how many people it has as its members. But I think I just wanted to draw the committee to paragraph 2. It says, an area that requires attention is facilities for independent living for older persons who are not in residential care. And in instances where older persons attempt to make ends meet, they take on tenants, which create all sorts of problems in the long run. Basically, it means those older persons who are not in the residential facilities, and some of them, they have to be tenants, so basically they have to pay rent. And other persons who fail, it basically highlights what are the challenges that they face, loneliness and isolation when they're not in the residential care. So the Age in Action reports that a major challenge in donating effective support to psychiatric clients who are discharged from care facilities relates to accommodation. And while such persons receive support from the local Department of Social Development, it is not sufficient in meeting the needs of their demands. The World Bank, a summary of its report, it found that despite progress to transform South Africa economy, levels of poverty and unemployment remain high outside urban centers. Furthermore, black children from rural areas with parents who did not finish school were most likely not to complete school or have access to health care. The report argues that quality primary education for children should be prioritized and the employment opportunities they face as young adults, irrespective of location, gender, or ethnic, should be based on merit. The report considers that the above is not automatic, but depend on various interventions, including broadening basic services such as water, sanitation, electricity, security, healthcare needs, especially in the peripheral areas. This report confirmed the findings of the Statistics South Africa that was published in 2012, that an appropriate 35% of children lived in households without any employed members, and social grants and remittances were used to improve children's access to food, healthcare, and education. Okay, on page 22, it basically confirms what I just, the two studies, the World Bank study and the Statistics South Africa on these children that live with in households where there's no member of the family employed, so they rely on the social grants. And furthermore, household-based care is increasingly becoming more important for the provisions of care and support to vulnerable individuals, including the elderly, people with disabilities, orphans, and people living with HIV and AIDS. However, this burden is often disproportionately carried by female-headed households, which are more likely to have lower household income and rely more on social grants than male-headed households. So the report underscores the increase of skip generation households, where the burden of care for grandchildren is abdicated to the elderly females, particularly in rural areas. Therefore, the report recommends that child support grant be particularly used in households where children are accommodated, rather than by parents who might be living elsewhere. Furthermore, it argues that black children, black African female-headed households, are much more vulnerable to hunger than their counterparts or households from other population groups. So the recommendation here is that there should be an upscaling participation in agricultural activities in remote areas where poverty and hunger are more apparent than in urban areas. The report argues that this intervention should be made attractive to young people, since currently a relatively small proportion of older women are participating to this form of intervention. Important to this point is that migratory patterns from rural to cities may decline when investment in this intervention is prioritized. When it comes to the status of children, we use the Children's Institute. They every year release this report, the Child Gauge. Okay, I will just find challenging to pronounce. It's Gauge. Gauge, thanks, Chaplain. I'm reading it in Xhosa. Yeah, okay. So my chair was the teacher that corrected me is Gauge. Okay, the annual Child Gauge publication on the state of South African children found that estimated 60% of children were living in poverty. It further reports that 26% of all children in poorest 20% of households experience hunger, while 37% of children in the poorest households live in adequate housing. It also purports that 54% of children in the poorest 20% of households did not have adequate supplies of potable water, while 46% did not have adequate sanitation. I think, Chairperson, this also relates to the World Bank study, but this also just gives more the statistics. The report acknowledges government's intervention on child support grants in addition to the free access to health care for pregnant women and children, the National School Nutrition Program for grade R children in public schools, and free water and electricity allowances for indigent families. It argues, however, that these services are not easily attainable due to long distances and high transport costs, including lack of roads and public health facilities infrastructure, especially in remote areas where children are most vulnerable. The report recommends that priority be given to providing infrastructure and ECD services for children in poorest and most remote areas, as well as children with disabilities. I think it also confirms what the committee has been identifying as a recommendation. Priority number two is to improve food security and nutrition for pregnant women and young children to prevent stunting and mental development for children. The third priority is to increase funding programs to assist caregivers and families to give appropriate care and stimulation of children, especially for the earliest years. I'm just reminded here that these are the areas that the department had identified that ECD 10-point plan of the ECD that the committee will have to continue monitoring its implementation. So basically, chapter 5.3, it just looks at all the comments that were raised in the previous pages on the issue of the targets that were not achieved, or they were overachieved with very big margins. So the recommendation is that that future planning on this target should take into consideration that targets can be set to be realistic and achievable. Okay, and that's also highlighting now the services to older persons that I've just identified in the previous pages, and the plight of older persons who are not in residential care. That's something that needs to be given attention by the department, as well as this National Register for Elder Abuse. And the lack of rehabilitation centers was another issue that I've spoken to earlier, that the department has to give it priority or attention. And the last two paragraphs, Chairperson, are basically what was just discussed in terms of the World Bank and the statistics South Africa in terms of the ECD in rural areas, the infrastructure, and the human resources. Okay, Chairperson, and the last part is on the committee observations and response, that this was taken from the briefing of the annual report last week. And the technical issues, it said the committee commended the South African Social Security Agency for using its officials to audit its financial statements. It also welcomed the improvements made by SASA and the NDA that resulted in them receiving an unqualified audit report. And when it comes to service delivery, again, Chairperson, the issue of targets was raised in the meeting. And which, what maybe just to read the paragraph there, it says in the response when the committee raised the issue of the targets, the department explained that out of 39%, 29 targets were partially achieved and 10 targets were not achieved. It raised a concern that in the public service, it is often a challenge to quantify the outputs of the service delivery. The reason is that it is not always easy to have accurate estimates of the population demands. In some instances, the demand, such as youth mobility programs from the population or the community, contributed to the overachievement of targets. That's what the department, or how it explained the issue of targets. The department further explained that a lot of work that goes into the operational delivery by the department is difficult to incorporate in the annual report. The Office of the Auditor General had guided the department on which performance areas it should report on. It therefore had been a challenge to reconcile the annual performance plan and the operations plan. However, it acknowledged that it still has to improve its targeting. It undertook to improve on its monitoring of expenditure, particularly shifting of funds and report to Parliament. Okay, and the committee again raised its concerns regarding the five dormant funds of the department, and it wanted to know the reason that caused the delays in deactivating these funds, and as they have been dormant for some time. And the department explained that it intended to draft the fund repeal, I should say legislation. That would provide for the close of this fund. However, due to the fact that Parliament will have a short year this year, 2013, this was shifted to the next financial year. The department will also hold discussions with the Department of Defense with regard to the fund that falls within its jurisdiction. The committee was seriously concerned about the brutal killings of elderly women. It requested the department to develop a strong intervention to put an end to these killings. With regard to the ECD centers, the committee reiterated its concern that ECDs are still under-resourced with adequate infrastructure, especially those located in rural areas. It emphasized the need for these centers to be well-resourced. And in terms of the report that it requested, the department should verify and provide the committee with a report containing an accurate number of people found to be unsuitable to work with children in the Child Protection Register. Okay, lastly, Chairperson, the recommendations that we managed to identify last week. The committee recommended that the minister should review how the department sets its annual targets to ensure that they are realistic and achievable. The department should also strengthen its supply chain management system. It should ensure that it meets its performance targets as planned for each quarter. The minister should also facilitate a process to ensure that the five domain funds of the department are deactivated or a legislation to close them is drafted and submitted to Parliament in the next financial year. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Melissa. Honourable members, this is quite a comprehensive report, and that is actually what the budgetary review and recommendation report is all about. It's quite a lot of detail in. I was thinking, with your indulgence, that we go straight into the issues of around recommendations and so on, conclusions. So if you look at page one, it's basically the mandate of the committee and also 1.2 deals with a description of the core function, social development, which is it says even on the website of Parliament, so it's not something that is different. Then just 1.3 deals with the purpose of the BRRR report, and then the method. And the overview of key relevant policy focus areas. It also deals with the department's strategic priorities, which is also forms part of the presentations that were made to the committee. We also have the overview of key developments and so on and so on. And point three is a summary of previous key financial and performance recommendations of the committee. And I thought maybe if we can just apply our mind there to see whether members are satisfied that all the recommendations or all the relevant recommendations are contained in the report as resolved by the committee. So we're on page three. Is there anything on page three? Okay. Anything on page four? I was just, as I was reading on page four, despite it says this, the third paragraph from the bottom, despite the existing high backlog in foster care applications, the department needs 2012-2013 annual report. There should be a comma. Reported that it increased the number of children in foster care to 157,024. That's 31% from 23,873. Isn't that, is that percentage right? Yeah, 157. It was first 23%, 23,000, and now it's 157. Isn't that quadrupled? Can you just clarify that interpretation for you, Honourable More?
Okay, thank you, Secretary. Actually, I thought that.
Did you fall down?
Okay, actually, I think that we also need a recommendation based on that point. If you check the next paragraph, that talks to, even though the committee welcomes the increase, blah, 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 I think if we can put that as a recommendation, because the backlog is too high to say something needs to be done.
I just want us to get that percentage right. I don't have a problem with the recommendation, because there was actually an increase in the backlog.
Correct.
Yeah, even though there was an increase in foster care, in the foster care numbers. Yeah. Oh, it increased by 23%. That is not the by 23,000. So it's, yes, I understand. Okay, now it's clear, but I think It was first 23,000 in 2011. There was an increase by 23,000. And then it increased, there was an increase by, you see, yeah, and then there was an increase by 157. By, yeah, 457, okay. So that is not the actual figure, but it's just the increase. Okay. Maybe you should get the actual figure. It makes more sense. Because to work from a base to say this is the actual figure in foster care, and it increased by 157,000. So in the previous year, this was a figure, and it increased by 23,000. Because it's a bit confusing. Because there's no baseline to work from. Huh? Yeah. So we can have the baseline included for both financial years, and then we can have a recommendation on the backlog issue. As Honorable Makuba?
No, I was agreed with you.
Okay.
That we need to know how much it was.
Mm.
Yeah.
That it increased by 23.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to include that in the report.
Mm.
Okay. Can we go to page 5? On adoption. On substance abuse. Should we go for rehabilitation? For the expansion of rehabilitation centers throughout the country and community-based outreach aftercare services. I think that's very important. Yeah. Especially when people come back from rehab, they must have aftercare services. We have that in the rehabilitation center. Yeah, that is what we're saying, that the rehab centers, the inpatient facilities. Let's say inpatient facilities. There should be an increase, rollout of inpatient facilities and community-based aftercare services for, in our communities. So if you have a rehab center in an area or in a province, you should have an aftercare service linked to it, as we saw in Eldorado Park, and is it in Newlands, no? That other one in Gauteng that we visited. Yeah. And I like that concept in Eldorado Park where people, you can actually go to, besides going to a rehab center, you go to the SANCA office to say you have a problem. And then you'll be referred to a rehab center or to whatever. Because it's not just an inpatient facility. If you have psychosis, you'll have to go to a mental institution. You see? So there's a difference in terms of referrals. Yeah. So evaluation centers, is extremely important to have in community. I think we should add that, evaluation centers and inpatient facilities as well as aftercare services. Because your aftercare service can actually also double up as an evaluation center.
Yeah. Chairperson, even the courts also refer the people to the SANCA centers as well.
Yeah.
And Chairperson, I think the evaluation center will decrease the number of the inpatient they will have done the work to see if the person really needed to be inside. It will decrease the number. It will be like a primary health care. You go first to the clinic before they refer you to the hospital.
It will actually improve the quality of care that the person will receive because a proper evaluation has been made. So that is the Child Protection Register on page 6. Okay, so we sorted that out. Then places of safety. That has also been dealt with. Internal controls.
Sorry, Chairperson, the bill that we are referring to with human settlements with regards to the issue of safety, has that been finalized and meeting our mandate with regards to that?
According to the annual report, Honourable Member, it just reports that this bill was the drafting of the bill was completed. But I can make a follow-up in terms of if it was tabled in cabinet or what was the process from there. Yes.
I think we can find out where it is, but it's definitely not in Parliament. And it's not on our list. We're not dealing with any legislation. It's too late anyway. Excuse the coughing. Well, the department received a clean audit. But they need to improve on the performance information reporting. Okay. The committee it says here recommended that the minister should ensure that stringent control systems are developed. So that has happened at least. Then we make a correction on page 7 for the 2012-2013 budget report. What I just think in terms of, so overview and assessment of financial performance. And then these are all the information that was there in the presentation. Finances according to economic classification. And then I think if you go to page 14, it says concluding comments on financial performance. There appears to be some disjuncture between the financial expenditure and the service delivery performance. And this is what we picked up in the annual report. If you remember, the 61% target's being reached, although they spend 99% of their budget. That was the anomaly within the financial performance of the department. And then they also did quite a number of variants between programs. So that was also something that we've picked up and which the Auditor General also mentioned. So which actually boils down to the fact that And I think we should have this in our recommendations. You remember the course we did on evidence-based planning? No? If this is a typical example of not
properly using evidence-based planning, where you set a target. You can't have 130% over your target, which means you didn't plan properly. You see, and if you look at this department is responsible for the population policy of South Africa, which means they have all the stats in terms of population needs. And you take the last census, the census information is part of your basis of planning for your needs in communities. And then you also have your war room and poverty stats, where you do your household surveys. So that is your basis, you see. Now, we do understand that communities will come to you from time to time as a minister, as a DG, and say, we have this need. But then you plan within your target. But once you go over 130% over your target, then you know that your planning is not balanced. There is a problem. Because in your evidence, when you're setting up your targets, there is a problem. You didn't plan right. That's the bottom line. And you can't run away from it, you see. And you can't get sentimental on an annual report in terms of a strategic plan and even your what is the other plan? The operational plan.
Yeah.
Because if you deviate from your annual report and you don't correct it in your operational plan, because even what the department should have done, they should have corrected, reviewed the annual report mid-year to say, we see that we're going to overstep this target and adjust that target. So when they table the report to us in Parliament, they've adjusted that target because of the review. Because a strategic plan is a very dynamic document. It can change all the time. And this is what they didn't do. They didn't adjust the annual report, you see, which means it was impulsive. It was an impulsive expansion on the targets. It sounds very bureaucratic, but it actually has an impact on the performance evaluation as a department. It's actually not a right thing, a good thing to do. While they've spruced up on the finances, which is extremely good, but on the performance, 61% of your targets, not even 70%, you see, so they need to look in. So which means they sacrifice other programs for some programs. Yeah.
On the other part, work can be done properly, but it tells you that there are people that are suffering. However, you may also agree that community evolves like in a way that they are being approached, not in a formal way, but they need to be assisted. But I still think that somewhere along the line there is something wrong that needs to be corrected. Because if we keep on saying it is extreme, we can see that it is extreme, and it happened in a wrong way, but there's somewhere along the line need to be corrected so that people that has been left behind, has been compromised, should be also considered at a later stage.
So we'll bring in that recommendation around evidence-based planning and so on.
Sorry, Chairperson. I think you place a lot of emphasis as well with regards to the integration and alignment. And therefore, ultimately, when you're speaking about planning, alignment to budgets, and it also has emphasis on the National Development Plan as well.
Okay.
It has to ultimately align with that in order to achieve.
Alignment of targets. Budget should be aligned. Yeah. So we make reference to the NDP because the NDP actually... Before I give over to you, Honourable Makhulu. I think the reference to the NDP is a very good point because it actually it emphasizes that there should be proper government planning. Honourable Gaba.
Mine it will be on the adoption chair. I think.
the adoption need to specify about the children when they adopted by their person, because you'll find that sometimes the person who adopted the child, she or he passed away, that child suffer, maybe still under the age, and he need to be adopted by someone, but we find that he is stranded in the system. I'm saying that this because I have the child that is like that, was adopted by the granny passed away. Her son took the child because of he want to take the things that his mother gave the child that was adopted by her. But now when he took the child, he took all the stuff. When he finished that stuff, he checked the child. Child is still 9 years old, which means stranded right now. And the social worker said when they give the person a child, when that person die, they must find somebody who will take that child. Who's going to find somebody except social worker? I think this thing of adoption must be a time frame to say social worker must just look after this child until he finish the school, or after 21 years, maybe that child will be get some, can find some job and give her or him. But if he's still 9 years old, how can you do about that 9 years old child if he's stranded now? Nobody wants to care. Nobody wants to care for him or her. Thank you.
Okay, I think it's a good point to say that in terms of adoption, children that are eligible for adoption shouldn't stay too long in the system. It's just the unfortunate part: the older the child, the longer it takes for a child to be adopted. People want babies, you know. And sometimes you find if you are 9 or so, you will stay in the children's home until you turn 18.
Mm. Also, in our culture, we say our children
even 30
years.
Yeah, you can't don't want to move out.
Apply the Children's Act.
I think I'm having a problem when you talk about the adoption. Maybe the committee can just make me healthy or understand. There was a case here which was on TV where two foster parents were complaining that their application has taken too long. Instead of me focusing on the application, I had a concern. I'm sorry, please don't be offended, good people. I want you to make me understand. I had a concern of people, two men, they are living in a man's world, but they want to adopt a small girl. And what are they going to do with this child, huh? Because, really, just make me understand it, so that I'm trying to be funny here. So they're complaining that the application has taken too long. Maybe the social workers or whoever had a problem like me to say, why a small girl child of about 9, 8 years? Why, I want us to look at this.
Are you talking about two gay men? Are you talking about two gay men? No, gay men, whether you're gay or not, you can adopt a child. And you must remember that they can also... No, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. In terms of the law, there's nothing wrong. I know, I understand the cultural point of view. It's like that everywhere. But there's a reality that it's happening, and that we allow people to get married and have families. And in terms of families, the definition of family is not just heterosexual couples, it's also same-sex couples. And it can be one person or two persons or three persons. That's a family. You can have one husband and two wives and one husband, or one wife and two husbands. It's a family. No, no, no. I'm not talking culturally. I'm talking in terms of the law.
The legal.
You see.
Yeah.
So we argued from that point. Obviously.
I mean, if you check, it's our culture that we don't allow that.
I'm saying you find these children being black most of the time. I'm sorry to use color, but it's reality.
Mm-hmm.
Our culture doesn't allow that you know, gay men can or lesbians can adopt, you know, children and all that. But it's our children again who are everywhere, who are roaming, who need parents, who need love and all that. So this talks to the issue of families. We need to get back to the root of families. Maybe that bill be passed. And it's unfortunate when you deal with behavioral issues like HIV, AIDS. You tell people condomize, have one partner do this, but it's unfortunate that you are not there. You cannot, you know, have a torch and say, Where's the condom? You know, in every household and all that. So it's sad, actually. In a nutshell, it's sad that you have these gay people who would actually take care of the child, but because of your culture and because of what is happening to our girl children, even boys, raped
sodomized
and sodomized and all that, you always have those doubts, you know, to say, is this the right route? But I think it will be a good debate to open this can of worms so that we check, I mean, whose best interest, you know, are we serving, you know. Exactly. Actually, most of them do. If you can check, not with gays as such or lesbians, but those who've been adopted by white families, they progress, those children. No, I'm not talking about gays. Or they progress, most of them.
Chairperson,
I'm not going to talk about the adoption. I'll go a little bit back because I was supporting what Honorable Khumalo was saying on that issue of other programs have suffered. If the department has spent so much money, and then there's no sense. So we need to check where the department have spent more and where they have spent less, so that when we next time we do oversight, we check if those programs are covered. That was my recommendation to that. So that we don't just say other programs have suffered, but we can't specify which programs. We should find out which programs have suffered and where they have spent more and where they have spent less.
I think we can add that in the resolution.
Yeah.
On the evidence is planning and the environment. Because I think you want to ask to comment on the environment, which means when they took money also from one program and gave it to another. Okay. And so the program suffered. So that 39% you want us to explain. Why the 39% targets weren't met and raise a concern around it as a committee. Okay? I'm sure Siavuya and Lindu is helping Yolisa taking the notes on the Hukaba, and then we have to move on to page.
Okay, Chairperson. Also, in the rehabilitation chair on the absence of youth, Chairperson, I think we have a terrible youth in our areas where they go to the rehabilitation for the 3 months. When he came back, or when he came, because most of them they are boys, when he came back, he's not really rehabilitated thoroughly. So I'm recommending that, Chair, the rehabilitation, they must be considered on the years where the boys started. Because I was with a boy in my house sent by his family. He was a person like he wanted to kill all of us. In the house, I was calling the police. I can show you the video here in my phone. He was willing to kill all of us if we didn't give him money to go and buy these drugs. So when I asked his family, they said to me, "It's 12 years staying with this drug abuse." So I try a lot. I phone everybody, even the minister, because I was in Titus in there. I was scared, even my child, they were scared, because the family, they took him. They said to him, Mom, they said, you must come. She wants to give you money. When he's there, he demand money from me. I said, no, wait, I must call minister. It's the minister who said it. Serious. The minister who said it, you must come here, she will come and give you money. She was waiting. When he was waiting, I was busy calling the police. Come and help us. When they came there, they said to me, Mom, you see, every weekend, we came to this boy. We took this boy to the Tembisa. They put him something to stop that match. After that, they leave him to come back at home. When he's at home, he tried to bully each and every one at home. They call police again. I said, no. Let me call HOD, your social development. She's the one who helped me on that. She sent the ambulance. She sent everybody. She called the Tembisa Hospital to say they must do something. This boy mustn't come back at home. Now, he's in Pretoria. I forgot the name of rehabilitation. But his mom came to my house last week. She said, no, he wants to stay there for the 3 years. Because they're scared, but mooring him down, having popos in the face. So I'll show you the video, Che. You'll see. Thank you.
Obviously, this person is not just rehab is not going to help him. He has to go to a mental institution because, which means he has become psychotic. So even if you see locking a person up for a weekend is not going to help him, especially with this kind of deviant behavior. So obviously that person needs to go for an assessment and then they'll do a referral, you know. So that is a reality. So, and you must never give a drug addict money because he's going to come again. So, and if he doesn't have that, he'll just steal the nearest thing. No, it's fine. Oh, it's a chap in the car. Okay.
And the kill of all of us here is in my house.
Yeah. So that is the reality. In terms of drug addicts. It's a very violent and a very sad thing at the same time. So if this person has had this habit for 12 years, his withdrawal symptoms is going to be horrendous. So he needs to be institutionalized. For quite some time. Yeah, can we go on? So it's not just a 3 week or 6 week detox, it's actually a few months. Yeah. So he needs to be institutionalized as a matter of urgency. Can we? If I look at what the member said, we actually dealt with the last part of the report. Which is we said it's an issue of foster care, it was the issue of evidence-based planning, and then the issue of environment. What was the other issue? Can we just ask you, Lisa, just take us through the new additions? Alignment of budget to targets. Yeah? And to the National Development Plan, and then the issue of foster care, the fact that, because that's a concern for us, we it's fine to have an increased take-up of foster care, but the backlogs has increased. That is a reality. And then the issue of substance abuse centers and aftercare services. Yeah? And evaluation centers, yeah. Or assessment centers. I don't know what they call it. What do they call it in El Dorado Park?
Evaluation centers?
Is it evaluation centers? Or is it assessment centers? Just find out the right wording, because I'm sure you will have it somewhere. Yeah. see, what I like about substance abuse centers, you don't need to go and build a new one. You can take an existing infrastructure and develop it. You remember the Newland Center we visited in Joburg? It was an old house, nice old house, that was renovated. Yeah. Honorable.
I think that this issue of Mama Utuma, it must be taken seriously. Because if
the gays adopted it, that is a serious issue. We cannot.
Honorable Gaba, you're out of order. We already resolved that issue around adoption.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's prejudice in terms of our constitution. So. That's why I'm saying there's a difference between the legislative aspects of adoption and the cultural aspects. And when we discuss, I think, maybe in the next parliament, the issue of, as Honourable Moore said, the issue of legislation, to legislate the issue of families, these discussions should be held. You know? And I think if you are a parent and you give your child up for adoption, you can have an open adoption. You can choose the parents you want to give your child to. But in some cases, there's no parents. So maybe those are some of the things that we need to mull about for the fifth parliament. Thank you, honourable members. That's the the recommendations. Yeah, you wanted to say something? Oh, it just in terms of appreciation on point 5, to say that we can just ask Yolisa just to add a line or two, but it's just to express appreciation to the department for them, for their cooperation, the access to information and so on and so on. Also the Auditor General giving us a special briefing and all the other stakeholders and so on, and to the staff of the committee and so on and so on. Thank you. Is Honourable Mora?
Thanks, Chairperson. On recommendations, the last page 25, I think we should actually say the annual targets to ensure that they are maybe smart in totality, yes, because they should be time-bound. Remember, as one of the new measures, or it has always been there, of how you draft your borough report, there should be time frames. So maybe instead of just saying realistic and achievable, just say smart in capital letters, because I think everybody knows. And then on the same paragraph, the department, I think, and its entities, if you read that, ne, should also strengthen its supply chain management, because it's not only the department, remember, that was affected by supply chain management. So it's just to add those two on that. Thanks, Mark.
It's just to say the department and its entities.
It should ensure that it meets the performance of the plan. It's not supply chain, it's man and monitoring and evaluation. No, it should also strengthen its. You see, because the agency is a clean audit. Yeah, so supply chain wasn't the problem. It was
the monitoring and evaluation unit, right? And not supply chain, because they received there was no matters of emphasis. It was the issue around the target. So then that is monitoring and evaluation.
Chair,
on the recommendation.
Also, on the recommendation, Chair, the department should not the department to should also strengthen. The department should. There is a two.
Page 25.
Oh, okay, thank you very much, Honourable Gaba. She did correct it.
Chairperson, there was talk around the inspectorate. I think you emphasized to the department there, Chair, that in terms of the, I think 11, 12, there were challenges. 12, 13, the monies were available.
Yes,
sir.
They explained to us the whole hiccup around the issue and the treasury, and there was quite a few issues that they had to sort out. So we accepted that in the committee.
Okay.
Honourable Mukuba?
No, also, just to take the sentence on page 20, the first paragraph, I think it's the last three lines where it says, particularly to those located in the rural areas, not located therein.
It's page 20.
Page 20, the first paragraph. Go down to the last three lines on appropriate infrastructure, particularly to those located in the, not therein.
Yeah,
Chairperson, can I just inquire information? We spoke about the equalization and the means test. Is that that's right? Phasing out. Is that in line? Is in sync with the SONA? And when will that commence? The rollout of that.
I think what remember what the president announced, the universalization of the old age grant in the SONA. And then I think the phasing out of the means test, which obviously is linked to the universalization of the means test for older persons.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are 60, you're eligible for an old age pension. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter who you are. So especially those men whose wife is a nurse or a teacher and they are jobless, they will now be able to qualify for old age pension. You see, so that was that is basically the issue. I don't think the for the other grants it's not going to phase out now, but eventually the means test will obviously be phased out, eventually. Especially now that the internal electronic processes like the biometric systems and then linking the SOCPEN system with a government pension fund and SARS and other pension funds, so that you can check. So immediately when they print in Yolanda Buerta, my whole profile will come up, and all my particulars. Instead of bringing statements, they will able to see where you bank, what, and so on and so on and so on. So I think as soon as we reach that kind of sophistication in terms of our systems, the means test will fall out. Okay.
Honourable members, here you have the report. Can we get a proposer and a seconder for this?
I propose the adoption chairperson.
Honourable,
I second the proposal.
Thanks.
Can we go over to
can you just distribute the minutes quickly to the members while we're taking a bit of a body break? 5 minutes.
I don't know. whether you all got that House of Monastic Media if you want to buy a parliamentary blazer. The P51.
V31. Sorry, Chair, it said V31.
Yes. I'm sure it's on the ground. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I was just trying to influence the IFP member and say that the MF will go there and charge you to their account.
You see.